You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
You know, I got asked quite a bunch of times this week. Hey, Jesse, are you guys running church? I'm like, what do you think? It's Eternity Church. Who do you think I am? Come on now, we don't not do church, do we? Right? We just don't not do church. Hang on, let me think. Yeah, we don't not do church. I got that right, didn't I? Come on now. Tell people when it snows, I'm going to be in church, all right? When there's ice on the roads, I'm going to be in church, you know that? One day I'm just going to sleep. If they say it's going to be 6 inches of ice on the road one Sunday morning, I'm going to sleep in my office just in case someone walks to church to get saved that Sunday, right? We're going to have church, aren't we? Right? That's what we do. Like even tonight, we got a pastor from another church in church. And if we didn't have church, when on a Sunday night, when could he get to our church, right? Come on, everybody needs a moment of refreshing, a time in the presence of God where maybe it's not on you today, right? And so we're going to do church. And so I'm glad you're here. You know, when I think about tonight, and I think about football, admittedly, I'm rooting for the Patriots. I have no idea what the score is and quite frankly don't care right now. I just want to do church right now. But when I think about the football, how easy is it to call those people that aren't in church tonight heathens and backslidden morons and whatever else, right? But seriously, people will talk like that about church sometimes. But honestly, there's nothing wrong with skipping church on a Sunday night once every now and again because you're watching a football. Can we be real? Nothing wrong with it, is there? Nothing wrong with those people, and honestly, it's all good. I just want to tell you that, see, I'm not here to make them feel bad because I'm glad that they've got a good life, that they're enjoying themselves, and that people, there's some people in our church who are watching it together instead of being at church, which is kind of doing church, isn't it? Because the church is the people together. So I'm not here to make them feel bad. I'm here because I believe that every single time we open the doors here at church that somebody has a destiny. That somebody has an appointment made by God to hear something that's said on this stage, whether it's by me, by the worship leaders, by the band, or by someone at the door, or just another believer that comes alongside someone and says, hey, I've been praying for you and God told me to tell you this, right? There's an appointment for somebody and probably for everybody here tonight. And so that's why we do church no matter what. That's why when it snowed that one time and we had a guest speaker, we had a guest speaker one time and it snowed about 14 inches in about half an hour. It was really crazy times a couple of years ago. And we had like 27 people in each service. And someone got saved in both services, right? And so we do church no matter what. But I don't want you all thinking you're more spiritual than those other people, all right? You're just going to get a dose of the ghost tonight that they might have missed out on, that's all, okay? And so who's ready for a sermon? Awesome, then let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we live in a country that has football. Mm-hmm. And we do pray that you toughen up the Americans who need the armor to play it and help them to be more like the Aussies. So protect them and their armor. But we pray for our service right now that you would just bless this time together. God, just bless us as we get together and we pray for each other, we worship you, and as we hear from you, God, I pray you bless this sermon and that you would really just use it to change some lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good to be in church, isn't it? Awesome. Did you know God's okay with a joke here and there? You know that? Like God invented humor. Do you know how I know? Because he made you and you're funny, right? And so, no, I didn't say funny looking. I just, you know, you're funny, you know? Most of the people, everyone can crack a joke every now and again. And at the very least, you can roll out a dad joke here and there. And so everybody's got it. God loves a bit of humor. It's okay to have a laugh in church and even in a prayer, amen? And so I just enjoy being saved, all right? You know, some people, they're saved, but their face doesn't know it yet. You've met them. It's like, yeah, I love Jesus. You need to come to church and be like me. Boring and whatever else. It's all right to have fun in church, amen? So anyway, today's title of the sermon is Naked. When you got kids, naked is just a word, right? It's just a word, because kids get naked all the time. In fact, one of my kids got naked, I think almost naked, before church in the kids' church room, like, you know, about an hour ago. And it's what Newmans do, apparently. Well, Newman kids, anyway, they just get naked all the time, right? I got stories on stories on stories about my kids getting naked in the weirdest places, right? They just do that all. Does any other parents in here have the same experience with your kids? Yeah? It's not just mine, is it? Like, legit. Okay, good. There's a few, and the other ones are all like, man, you people are weird, right? And but yeah, there's just nothing sacred anymore once you have had four kids. But so the title of the sermon today is Naked, all right? But I want to tell you, have we got any problem solvers in here? Yeah, I'm a problem solver, right? I'm that guy that something happens, I can't not have the answer. Anyone else? Like, I can't not, if I don't know it, I'm going to Wikipedia the crap out of that thing, right? Until I figure it out. I need to know, right? And if you say a word or a place that I've never heard of, I'm going to fall asleep with my phone hitting my face reading about that place, right? If you mention a battleship, if you mention a time period, a person in history, if you mention a business, I've got to know about it. I need to know the answer to all the questions, all right? That's how I roll. I'm a bit of a problem solver too. I find that in many situations when a problem happens, my mind just seems to skip all the crappy answers and go straight to this will fix it, right? It just goes right there straight away. Now, and that's a good thing. Because when something bad happens, my mind goes, boom, there's the answer. Just do that and it'll be all right. What's great is most of the time, that works, right? Most of the time, it's fantastic. But sometimes, I need to go to God. But my mind goes straight to the solution. Sometimes, I need to know what God would want to have happen in the situation. But my mind gives me the A, B, and C immediately, and sometimes that means I miss out on what God would have done if I just trusted Him with it. Anyone know what I'm saying right now? And so it's a good thing to have problems. I don't need to, you know, if something falls off my house, I don't need to go to God and ask Him how to nail it back in. I go, I get my hammer, I get some nails, I hold it up there, I whack it in. A, B, C, done, right? But some things we need to know what God would do in the situation. And some things are so big that it's just stupid to try and think that you might even be able to find the A, B, C when the only thing that could ever work is if God intervened. Can I get an amen? So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But we've got to get to a place where the first thing we do when something is out of our control is we say, God, what would you do in this situation? Amen? So today I want to talk to you about what to do in those moments, right? When I get to the moment where I just feel completely exposed, completely just right there, exposed, as if I'm in a battle, in a war somewhere, and I've got no cover, and I'm just exposed. You ever felt like that before? Like you're just... whenever the scriptures talk about someone being naked, usually it's talking about a moment of vulnerability, right? A moment of exposure where you're exposed. It could be about you're exposed to the enemy. It could be about being vulnerable. Anything could happen to me right now. It could mean exposed as a fraud. But when scripture talks about naked, often it's talking about exposure and vulnerability. And y'all are quiet because you're like, the pastor keeps saying naked. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, since a whole bunch of people are at the football, I'm going to need the ones that are here to yell a little louder, all right? Can somebody yell out naked? There we go. That's better. You're like, I have never yelled that out in church before, and it's going to be the last time. Is that right? There you go. So I'm glad you're here, but I'm going to need you to yell out at me. Remember, you got to yell at the pastor at Eternity Church. You don't get to walk out of here without yelling at me, all right? I need to know if you're hearing what I'm saying, all right? Because this is going to be good tonight, okay? Have you ever felt exposed? Yeah? Have you ever been in a situation, and I'm not talking about without your clothes, but have you ever been somewhere and felt naked? Felt exposed, felt vulnerable, felt like right now anything could happen to me. I've got no control. I don't know what's going to happen, right? See, I get the privilege of hearing people's stories every day. People who have great victory and also people who are just beginning to have victory in their lives and people who haven't even tasted it yet. I get to hear the stories. Pastor Jed talked about that this morning in his sermon, that as pastors, we get to be involved in the moments of people's lives, often the most vulnerable and exposed moments where people people are there either saying, I'm positioning myself for a victory, but it's a vulnerable moment because anything could happen, all right? Or other people saying, right now, I need to just share this with you. And they peel back the layer and it's like their life is that you've seen this one thing, but underneath it's a mess and they get vulnerable. We get to see that as pastors, and it's an exciting moment to be in, because when we're willing to just give it to God, anything can happen. Amen. But today I want to tell you, if you feel naked, if you feel vulnerable, if you feel exposed, maybe you feel like you are a fake, or maybe you just feel inadequate, God wants to show you that you are who He says you are, and that He can do what He says He can do in you. Amen. Tonight, if you feel bloodied, come on, someone say bloodied, all right? See, actually, the whole title of my sermon is Naked and Bloodied, all right? If you feel bloodied tonight, broken, beaten is often what scriptures talk about. If it talks about bloody, that's talking about someone who's been beaten, hurt, broken, beaten down, then you need to rediscover the power of the name of Jesus in your life. You have to believe, you have to know for certain that Jesus is your Savior, that He listens to you, that He hears you, that He's for you. Come on. So if you're naked, if you're bloody, the answer is, yes, this is going to be a great night for you. This is going to be a good night for you. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 19, starting at verse 11. It says, God did extraordinary miracles. I just love that introduction. God did. What a great way to start a story, all right? Hey, how was church tonight? God did extraordinary miracles. How was your family prayer time tonight? God did extraordinary, whatever the next word is. That's a great way to start a story. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, and they tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. And one day an evil spirit answered them, Jesus, I know. I know about Paul, but who the heck are you? Didn't say heck, I added that. Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Oh, there's that naked and bloody. There it is right there. See, there's some weird stuff in the Bible. You know, there's a whole nother story in the Bible where it's talking about Jesus being arrested, and it ends it with something completely unrelated. And it says, and then a man was there and they grabbed him, but he fled and left his garment and ran away naked. That's the whole line. It had nothing else to do with anything else. The Bible just has some bizarre details in it, doesn't it? These guys left naked and bleeding, naked and bloody. Now, when this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total value came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. See, what we've got here is the seven sons of Sceva. Some men who'd heard about a formula that would make amazing things happen. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't believe in the name of Jesus. They just heard this word like abracadabra. Yeah? Even when you were a kid, how many times did you go up and abracadabra? And nothing happened. It didn't happen for me anyway. It was an abracadabra. See, they heard of a formula. If you say abracadabra, then miraculous things happen. See, they heard that this guy Paul says in the name of Jesus, and crazy cool things happen. So I'm going to say that. If you hold your arms like this, cross your fingers like that, and hold your mouth like this and say one magic word, Jesus, then you'll see incredible things happen. Miracles and amazement. So these seven sons of Sceva, not familiar with Jesus Christ at all, not in a relationship with God at all, they don't believe that He is God at all. They're the sons of a priest who was teaching people to live the old way. Right? The seven sons of Sceva. Sceva, a high priest. So what does a high priest, a high Jewish priest, teach people? if you tick this box and this box and this box and this box, what do you have? Salvation. And so these seven sons of Sceva are treating Jesus like an ABC. Tick this box, this box, this box, hold your arms like this and say, Jesus, you'll have a miracle. But they didn't know Jesus. ABC, you'll see progress and victory in your life. So these boys who don't know him, they try to do the ABCs of a miracle-working formula in a really bad situation. We do that all the time. We get in a real bad situation. And you know the ones where immediately you know, it's kind of like, I'm screwed. You ever been there? Like, not even for a moment do you think, I could find my way out of this. So what we immediately do is, even though immediately we know there's no way I'm getting out of this, we go and write it all down anyway and start trying to find our way out of it. We start trying to ABC the heck out of that thing, trying to figure out what's going on, when what we're supposed to do is turn to Jesus, the name of Jesus, not just Jesus like a word, right? See, there's a difference between the word Jesus and the name of Jesus. The word means nothing. The name means everything. The word is a word. There's other people on the planet named Jesus, and calling out their name isn't going to do jack in your life. Come on now. But calling on the name of Jesus, who you got a friendship and relationship with, the one that you believe died on a cross, who's the Son of God, who's full of the power of God and rose again from the dead. Now that will be something amazing. Amen. Come on now. With all that in mind, let's read verse 13 again. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. And they would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. I'm glad I don't live a whom Paul preaches kind of life. Aren't you glad? I'm glad that when you go home and you get to a bad situation, you don't say, in the name of Jesus, who Pastor Jesse preaches about. I'm glad you can go home and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, get out of my way. Amen. I'm glad you can say that I need a job. I want a job. God, would you please give me a job in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Not in the name of Jesus, whom Pastor Jed talked about. Come on, it's got to be about, do you believe in him or not? Amen. He's your Savior. See, some people would say Jesus, and some people believe in Jesus. They simply spoke a word. All they did was A, B, C. Here's the formula. The name of Jesus has power. The word does not. I've talked about Chick-fil-A before. I love Chick-fil-A. Anyone love Chick-fil-A? It's freaking closed today. Flippin' heck. I know it's awesome and stuff. They're like, they want to make sure all their employees can get to church, which is super noble, and that's awesome. And so I pray that they have great success. But I want Chick-fil-A on Sunday. Actually, I can't think of a better day to have Chick-fil-A. Like in between the second and the third service, or after church tonight on the way home. Hey, baby, let's get some Chick-fil-A. Come on now. But anyway, God bless them for, you know, creating opportunities for their staff. But I love it, you know. In fact, I ate Chick-fil-A so much that a few months ago, I started like getting sick of Chick-fil-A. I didn't even know it was possible. I'd drive past and be like, ugh. Like, I swear, I ate about 6 chicken strips every day for about 9 months. Because remember, I've been trying to put on weight, I've been working out, so I'm like, eating these protein strips is what I'd like to call them, right? I'd be like driving past, I'd be in between appointments, I'll drive in, I'll be like, I'll have 3 chicken strips, thanks. I'll just mung them down real fast, keep going to the next one. On the way back from my appointment, 3 chicken strips, thanks. Mung them down and get them done. And I loved them, but I got sick of them. But recently, I rediscovered my love for Chick-fil-A. In fact, it was only like a 3-month break. Sometimes you got to flush the system, you know what I mean? And so I flushed the system, all right? A couple of days ago, on Friday, in fact, I got busted eating Chick-fil-A on my own in my car. I was on my way home from work. I had to stop in at Lowe's and get a couple of things because we're trying to get a house ready to sell it. No, we're not leaving ever. We're just moving down the road. But I'm in there and I'm in the car park at Lowe's, just sitting there eating my Chick-fil-A. And Cam turns up, looks in the window. I'm like, I got busted. I'm just sitting in the parking lot eating Chick-fil-A. But you know what? You all want Chick-fil-A right now, don't you? Hands up if right now you're mad at me because you want Chick-fil-A and you can't have it. Yeah, me too. I'm mad at myself. But if I go to Chick-fil-A and I say, hey, Dan Cathy said. Now, Dan Cathy, he owns Chick-fil-A. You heard of him, right? He owns Chick-fil-A. If I say, Dan Cathy said I can have 100 chicken nuggets for free. Guess what? I get no nuggets. They ain't even going to give me a single nugget. Not one. Because they know that I don't know Dan Cathy at all, right? I don't know Dan Cathy. Can we all just agree that every suburb in America needs a Chick-fil-A? Yeah? Yeah, they do, don't they? I live in West Des Moines. We have a Chick-fil-A. Does your suburb have a Chick-fil-A? Come on now. Any suburb that doesn't have a Chick-fil-A is less favored by God. It's a fact. It is a fact. It is a fact. It's in the Bible. But they know that I don't know. They know that I don't know Dan Cathy, right? So I'm not getting any nuggets. Having heard of Dan Cathy's name doesn't get me any chicken nuggets. But guess what? I have heard and do know the managing partner of the University Avenue store. And so whenever he's there and I go in there, I get free Chick-fil-A every time. Because I know the man, don't I? Thank you, David, if you're ever listening to this podcast. I love you, man. A lot. Jesus is the same. See, he's not some magic word to throw around. You think demons are scared when you use the name of Jesus as a swear word? They don't care. When you sit there and you hurt your thumb and go, oh, Jesus Christ, they're not afraid of that. They're not running away going, oh my gosh, he hurt his thumb and said, Jesus. No, they love that. Come on now. They absolutely love that. They love it when we take the name of Jesus and turn it into some word and a belittled concept or just some idea about some person that someone once had. But believing in the name of Jesus scares the snot out of them, amen? Calling on the name of Jesus scares them stupid, amen? Believing what you heard about Jesus is where the power is. Believing that Jesus is where salvation comes from. Calling on the name of Jesus, not the word of Jesus, is where you get your salvation. It's where you get your, once we said before, your sanctuary, your safe place, your supply, amen? Believing in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, died for my sins, buried and rose again from the grave. Come on now. He paid the price for my sins. And in his name I speak. He's the one I know. Amen. I'm calling on that guy, that Jesus, the one who died on the cross and rose again. Not just taking his name and saying it. Not talking about some guy that someone else talked about. See, if those guys knew Jesus, if those guys had a friendship with Jesus, if those guys had received Jesus into their hearts, the story would have said, the seven sons of Sceva found a demon-possessed man and they said, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, who Paul told us about and we believe in, we command you to come out. And the demons screeched and fled from the man, and the man was set free and the demons left bloody and naked. Let's reverse that story, amen? That's how it happens when you know him. You got to believe in him, my friends. Otherwise, you're just speaking words and hoping something happens. Saying the word Dan Cathy rather than calling upon an actual friendship I have isn't going to get me anything. There's power in his name. There's power in his name. I just think there's some people in here got to know that there's nothing that can come against the name of Jesus. Nothing that can come against the name of Jesus. I don't know what you're in right now. I don't know what circumstance you've found yourself wrapped up in. I don't know what problem has come across your desk this week. I don't know what horrible thing happened in your marriage or your family or your finances, but you've got to know there is power in the name of Jesus. Man, so often we forget that, don't we? And we just take another hit when we've got a secret weapon right in our mouths. There's power in the name of Jesus because it takes faith to believe in Jesus. Hebrews 11 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain. What is it? Certain of what we do not see. When you believe in Jesus and you have the faith to pray or speak to situations around you, miracles do happen. Just like they did for Paul at the beginning of the chapter. Just like they did for Peter and for John. And just like they did for all the apostles in the scriptures. Miracles happen because faith can drive out demons. Faith in Jesus can throw your life's biggest mountains into the oceans. Faith in Jesus can see your body healed. Faith in Jesus can see food on your family's table. Faith in Jesus can see provision in your bank account. Faith in Jesus can open blind eyes and see crippled men healed in Jesus' name. Faith, hey, I got faith for our church. Would you believe the things? You might not, but I do, so it's all right. And you can borrow my faith if we get there. But the things we've got to do over the next 2 years just to keep up with what's happening already. Don't look around right now and think this is a representation. This is Super Bowl Sunday, all right? But the things God's doing and the pace this church is growing in winter right now, the things we have to do as a staff to keep up and prepare, to be able to handle the growth, come on now, it's insane. But faith can see it happen. You know, we are about 2 years away, maximum, from needing the balconies up there and there, which means we got to start planning to build the kids and student wing out there so we can steal their space up there and put balconies in, right? Which means we got to start talking to architects so we can get plans, so we can submit plans to Clive, so Clive can say yes and go back to the architect and give them $1 billion, whatever they need, right, to get it done. And then we got to build the thing. It sounds like a lot, but I got the faith. I'm not even afraid anymore. I'm just like, snap, that's a lot. You know what I wanted to do? At first, I was like, I got to ABC the crap out of this thing. I don't know what to, man, okay, sit down. If I do this, and then I'm like, no, I'm just going to go and say, God, make this happen. God, make this happen. Sometimes you want to sit down. I got asked by someone, are you going to bring in a professional group to help you raise money? I'm like, what are you even talking about? Apparently, there's groups that churches can hire to come in and get their people to give money to your building project. I'm like, no. They're like, did you do that to buy the building? I'm like, no, that seems stupid. I just prayed and asked God and told everyone what he told me, and they gave the money and we bought the building. That makes sense to me, right? I'm like, how about we just do that again? We'll just do that again. That worked last time, that whole faith thing. I'm just going to do that, right? Sound good? But I need faith in Jesus. I need to call on the name of Jesus when the council might come up and say, you can't do that. I'll be like, in Jesus' name, I can. Was anyone here last week for that message? Yeah, the force. May the force be with you, yeah? These permits will be passed. That's right. You will not charge us for these drawings. Yeah. I'm going to try that next time. That's going to be wicked. I'm totally going to do that and see if someone like throws me out of their office. I got faith. I got faith. I've got big faith. I am not afraid of the things in front of me, are you? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I'll fear no evil. I'll fear no evil. I'm not afraid. I serve a big God. I got faith in the name of Jesus. I'm not afraid. Come on now. You know, I reckon we've preached a message on the name of Jesus about 3 times every year for the last 5 years. A little bit different every time. I think you're getting the point. You can call on the name of Jesus no matter what's going on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I'm going to call on the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you feel naked, if you feel vulnerable, exposed, if you've been feeling hurt, wounded or bloodied. It's not only people who don't know Jesus that get bloodied and bruised, but it's those of us that forget to call on the name of Jesus. We walk into situations from Monday to Saturday, having heard on Sunday that we can call on the name of Jesus, but on Tuesday something happens and we go, oh snap, what am I going to do? Yeah. How about we call on the name of Jesus, right? You might be in the middle of a marriage breakdown. You need to stop trying to convince that person to love you and ask Jesus, who already does love you, to come in and do a miracle in your marriage. Amen? You can try and ABC your wife or your husband back into your marriage, or you can pray to the Lord God, who is all about restoration, all about faith, all about hope, all about forgiveness and healing, and ask him to do a miracle. This could be for people who have incredible sickness in their bodies and haven't taken the time to say in the name of Jesus. I don't know what you find yourself in, Have you ever found yourself talking about Jesus to people and then suddenly realize it's been a long time since you talked to Jesus? You ever found yourself talking to a colleague at work and they're telling you a situation like almost identical to what you're in? And you're like, man, you just gotta pray, bro. And you walk away going, I should do that too. You know? Man, that was awesome advice right now for myself, right? Have you ever been there, right? You walk into something. You ever heard in church? Maybe we sang a song about the powerful name of Jesus. A song with those exact lyrics in it that we sing every few weeks here. The powerful name of Jesus. And then go home and freak out when you're confronted by some disaster and go straight into ABC mode. Come on, anyone done that? All right, you got like three vulnerable people in here. I want to tell you something. I'm the lead pastor of this church, right? Right? I'm like the lead pastor. Well, I guess when I have a beard that's gray, I can say senior pastor, right? I'm the senior. And I do that at least once a week. At least once a week, right? But the good news is it's getting shorter and shorter, that gap between freak out and, oh man, I need you, Jesus. Jesus, come into this situation, amen. Come in. Do you know, in fact, I'm going to stop for a second. Can I have the band come back up? Everyone stand up. Yeah, whoa, hello. Fall over, baby, we need you. Without you, I die, and so is the church. No, so is everyone else, so. There's nothing wrong with ABCs, right? It's all right. But you're going to need more than the ABC to beat the devil back out of your life. You're going to need to call on the name of Jesus. I was thinking about the Skeever thing. I thought, who would be a Skeever today? I thought about that. The sons of Skeever. I love that. They didn't get identified as anything, right? They got identified as the sons of Skeever. We don't even know their names. Who are these punks? The sons of Skeever. Skeever, the high priest. The king of ABCing your way to salvation. The king of ABCing your way to a breakthrough. The king of just everything about the law. Everything about ticking boxes. Like, that's what these guys were. This was the sons of Skeever, so they naturally did life that way, right? And no Jesus, they just thought that his name was like abracadabra, and they threw it out there, and they got the snot beaten out of him. But I thought about that. So, I don't want to be a son of Skeever. I'm a son of God, right? I'm a child of the Most High God. Who's a child of God in here? Any child of God in here? Yeah. So we can be one of Skeever's children, right? Or we can be one of God's children over here. I'm a son of God. I'm highly favored son of God who calls on the name of Jesus Christ. And I can call out to the unstoppable God and see impossible things happen in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.